All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobbo, Frank, Chris Sill in the studio, our producer-engineer Jesse with us as well, and Frank is going to introduce our next guest, Jeff McDonald.
We are delighted to have former UVA defensive lineman Jeff McDonald joining us. He was a member of the 1984 Peach Bowl team for George Welsh. Played 2 years at Virginia, earning a scholarship from Coach Welsh, and Coach Welsh said he wasn't going to promise him anything, but Jeff's one of these guys that worked hard and earned his scholarship. He had transferred from Honolulu, Hawaii. So that had to be a real culture shock to come from
Hawaii. So he's
not
the brightest guy in the world, huh?
Yeah, he left Hawaii to go to Charlottesville.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, anyway, his dad got transferred in the military.
I see. Okay.
Come on, Hobbo.
Makes more sense now.
Yes, Hobbo. Okay. So, Jeff, are you there?
Hey, thank you very much for having me on tonight, Frank. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I'm glad we could get hooked up.
Yeah, the most common question I get asked is, why on earth would you transfer from the University of Hawaii to Virginia? And I really don't have a good answer other than it's been a series of bad breaks and misunderstandings, I'm sure, but it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. My dad was in the military and was transferred back to the Pentagon, and so I thought it was a good
So good how, time to how were the rainbows doing those days?
You know, it's pretty wild. My freshman year in 1981, we were ranked number 16 in the country by one poll. Sports Illustrated had us ranked number 10. We really had an amazing season with a big win against West Virginia when they were ranked, and my second year they did pretty well, and we were packing Aloha Stadium, about 5,000 fans, and I actually, when I transferred to Virginia, my father's from Virginia, my mom's from Hawaii, and my dad told me that, well, Virginia doesn't have a very good football team, and you'll get a lot more playing time there, and when I showed up the first day in the locker room, I looked around and I said, holy cow, these guys are really big. And remember, we had guys like Jim Dombrowski and Bob Olderman and just a whole slew of, like, really, really, you know, A-list players. And I was like, my gosh, whoever said these guys aren't any good didn't know what they were talking about. And sure enough, my first year there, I walked into a team that, you know, we got our head handed to us by Clemson, our first game, and then after that, I think we went on a tear and won the next seven games, and it was really a pretty amazing season.
Well, you got to play with some terrific players at Virginia, and some of these players have been on the show. Howard Petty, a.k.a. the Beaver.
Yep.
Phil Rogers, we know about, who you told me is now the commandant of a...
I believe it's a Marine Corps base in San Diego. Camp Pendleton, I believe, is the name of it.
Yeah, holy cow. And
probably the commander, not the commandant.
I was, maybe so. Scott Urch was a nose guard on your team. He was a good player. Barry Word was a running back.
And our friend Charles McDaniel, of course.
Yeah, you had Charles McDaniel. Was Ron Carey on this team? No, Ron Carey wasn't.
No, that was a little bit later.
That was a little bit later.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned all those names.
But Don Majkowski, hold on, time out. Don Majkowski was on that team.
The Magic Man.
Yeah, he could play.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, Don was an amazing athlete. A lot of people don't know this about him, but he was a fantastic basketball player. And he would play in intramural basketball games, which, of course, as football players, we're not allowed to. But he could do the most insane behind-the-back dunks. He would just freak everybody out. And when I asked him about his leaping ability, he informed me that he still, at that time, held the New York State high jump record, 6'11", if you can believe that.
Wow.
So that tells you something about his athletic ability.
Well, I can tell you, he's been on the show before and was one of our favorite guests. And the funny story that I may have related to you is that when he was going to make the team as a rookie, the equipment manager threw him a jersey. It was number 5. So his first season in Green Bay, he wore number 5, which was Paul Hornung's jersey. And in the off season, before his second season, the coaches informed him that jersey was being retired. And that's how he ended up with number 1. So, Don was a terrific guest, and I've seen him since then down at the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And So let's switch gears here. Today you told me that you are now doing some coaching at Benedictine High School, and talk a little bit about what it's like to coach young people today in high school football, and maybe what goes into building a player that can move on and play collegiately.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing, given that I'm an offensive line coach and a defensive line coach, is that you need size if you're going to go from this level to the next. And so the first thing that you notice today is that many offensive lines in high school weigh more than your typical offensive line in college 25 years ago. When Jim Dombrowski was taken as the first offensive lineman of the draft in 1985, he was the prototype 6'5", 295, 300-pound lineman. He was a giant first day. But today, every Division II team has linemen his size. And that's the first difference that you notice in kids these days, is somehow they've just gotten bigger in the past 20 years.
But Jeff, now the second differentiation is they're a lot quicker today. An offensive lineman today has got great feet, right?
He does have great feet, and one of the differences that you see is today kids, when they get to be a junior and they start thinking about playing at the next level, they stop playing all other sports. Of course, when you and I were playing, we played a sport every season, but it just don't see it so much anymore. Every once in a while, you'll get that rare kid who plays football and lacrosse and wrestles all year round and does it all 3 years. But you see kids start to specialize, and so many kids have strength coaches outside of school, and they have speed coaches that they work with, and I think that explains a lot of the differences between the skill level from 20 years ago till
Jeff,
now.
Let me bring you up through the current. I'm sure you're living in Richmond. You follow the team. What does Virginia need to do to get better to make sure we don't have another 2-10 campaign next year?
Well, I'm going to hold off on commenting right now because, I have several young men on my team who would like to play for the University of Virginia, and I don't want to offer too much advice out there. I will just say that, go for kids with big heart, because you can't coach hard. I would say, hey, take the time to make the rounds, get to know the coaches. I think Mike London has been doing a little bit better job than his predecessor at doing that. And don't overlook kids in the 804. There's a tendency to go straight to the 757, and you really don't need to. I feel like Virginia, for whatever reason, is getting out recruited by our friends up the road in Blacksburg, and they're kids who could just as easily play at both schools, but for whatever reason, they're going up the road. So I think that if we just get back to basics and work a little bit harder and get to know the kids and get to know the high school coaches, I think that would be a big step in the right direction.
So we're speaking with Jeff McDonald, former UVA lineman. Jeff, a little bit about the specialization and focus that's taken place today in high school sports. So let's talk about maybe the lineman or the skilled player in high school who really has a tremendous sophomore campaign, right, and starts to really get the buzz as a junior, in those first couple of games. Maybe he doesn't play basketball anymore, or maybe he doesn't play baseball anymore. So he's lifting more weights. He's involved in some other academy or something somewhere. And also talk about the marketing maybe that's involved with high school athletes getting noticed through all the electronic media and so forth.
Okay, well, first of all, with regard to an offensive lineman, I'm going to give you a little bit of a plug on a camp that we put on last year at Benedictine High School. It's an offensive lineman camp. It's called Derby Camp Richmond, and we decided to put this on because you have all kinds of camps in the summertime. You've got and all kinds of programs. You have 7-on-7 competitions. You have quarterback camps, linebacker camps. But we noticed that there are no offensive lineman camps in the entire state. And so we decided to start one here. But instead of starting it from scratch, we brought an offensive lineman camp that is held every year in Oregon and Hawaii by my good friend and former college roommate at the University of Hawaii, Brian Derby. Mm-hmm. And so we had the first offensive lineman camp last year. It was very well attended. I'm constantly getting emails from the parents of the kids saying, hey, you're going to do it again this year. So that's number one. Work on your skills. And unfortunately, you know, we linemen have been branded as being unskilled players. And really, there's quite a lot of skill that goes into being both offensive and defensive linemen.
Right.
So that's number one. And number two, you have to start making the rounds of the various camps where the college coaches go and watch the players. And most of the big schools have them. UVA has a camp. Tech has a camp. I would say don't do too many camps. Don't do more than three, because what we've been seeing is a lot of kids overdoing it at the camps and getting pulled muscles that have been setting them back. So I would suggest to a kid to work hard in the off season, lift weights, get on a good diet, bulk up as much as you can, and try to hit a few select camps. There are folks who actually help people get exposure. And there are some of those people, and some people use them and some people don't. I would say the kids who have high school coaches who have been doing it for a long time and know the ropes and know all the coaches probably don't need the help of an outside assistant to help them get exposure.
Well, you know, that's good advice. Well, Jeff, thank you for your time tonight, and I appreciate you jumping in. And we will stay in touch, and maybe next fall we can bring you back and talk about what's happening on the local scene with high school football.
Absolutely. Happy to do it, Frank. Thank you very much for inviting me to be on.
Listen, have a great night. All right, when we come back, we're going to do the Olympic Sports Report, and we're going to look at some of the bowl games that some of the ACC teams are going to be playing in, and the LeClaire-Ryan play of the game. So stay with us. This is Who's Talking.